Can you hear me? Am I on? Okay. Good, good, good. There we go. Praise the Lord. Amen. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. Man, let me ask you, are you guys all crazy? What the heck are you doing in church on Sunday night? Looks like we've got the city's finest here. Amen? Amen? Amen. How many were here this morning? Okay, good. We can say amen. Amen? Come on, some of you looking tired. You got to come walk in my footsteps. I'll show you what tired is. Time zone after time zone, airport after airport, country after country, city after city, and then coming home and feeding people. Anybody should be tired. It's me. Amen? Amen. So I'm excited to be here. I believe you're going to be blessed. And boy, we got everybody. Man, we look at all my black friends here, and we got the white friends. And look at all my black friends here. I glow in the dark here, huh? Yeah, right on. Right on. We got our brown friends here. We got our, and then we've got us white folks. Amen. With no rhythm. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we had a great time this morning, and I hope that those that were here this morning enjoyed it. And you know, I don't really speak to youth groups anymore. And the reason why, because I got to a place where I have to know the pastor to speak to the youth group. Because, for example, in the nation of Australia, I found out they were more interested in Australian Idol than they were the Holy Spirit. And they were more interested in American Idol than they were the things of Jesus. I understand why. Especially if you've never been touched by the true power of the Holy Spirit. See, when you've been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, your life changes. But if you grew up in a dead, dumb church like I did when I was your age, and I had nobody come to me and tell me about the power of the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus, the Word of God, all I got was tradition. And after the eighth grade, I left. I mean, man, the little school that I went to growing up when I was some of your ages, I didn't grow a halo. I had horns. I used to shut off all of the nuns, their hot water during their showers in the convent. I used to steal all the hosts from the priests and the bottle of wine, and I mean, we used to take all the mission. I mean, just this all nonsense stuff, because I had never, no one ever came to me like I'm coming to you and said, man, he's really real, and that he'll walk with you and talk with you. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. Chronological age is not based on spiritual maturity. I know a lot of old people who are babies in Christ, never wanted to grow up in the things of God. And then I know a lot of young people who you would call wise while yet young. So I'm going to encourage you tonight that you can have as much of God as you want, as much of Him as you want, and it doesn't matter. He didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. There is something that you're supposed to do here on planet Earth. See, you're not called to work a 9-to-5 job, rent a Blockbuster video on Friday night, marry a nice hottie, pump out a few kids, drive a BMW, a house with a white picket fence. That's all a byproduct of your call. All that stuff will come. You're not called to make history. You're called to change it. You're called to change it. I was watching as I walked in the door. There's a whole lot more people here than I thought were going to be here tonight. So the first thing people want to find out when they're looking for a local church, number one, where are my kids going to go? The youth group. They look at the praise and worship. And then they look at the pastor's wife. Usually those are the three things, because you can tell a lot about church by the young people. Why? You're the next leaders. There's apostolic gifts in here, prophetic gifts, evangelistic gifts. There's doctors, there's lawyers, there's politicians. Generals, you guys are called. You're going to have to begin to step up to the plate and begin to start growing up in the things of God more and more and more, because more is going to be required of you. I wish to God somebody came to me, like me, when I was your age, and said, you can have as much of God as you want. Why? Because I lived in the confessional booth. I used to go to the priest. Excuse me, Father John. Jason, you've been to confession 3 times today. It's 5 o'clock in the evening. What could you have possibly done? Oh my God, Jason! Why? Because sin was so much more exciting than living a holy life, I thought. Because I'd never been touched by the power of God. And when I got touched by the power of God, you know what your generation? You know what your generation lacks? Purpose. You've got a purpose? And you go to bed at night and you have peace. You wake up in the morning with joy. And you have purpose and vision for your life. Man, you're never the same. You're never the same. Never. I don't care if you black, white, fat, skinny, rich, po. Who so po? You spell po, po, P-O, po. Amen. 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 I think you're going to be blessed tonight. Amen. All right. Can I sow into your life? Amen. Where's the youth? What was the youth pastor's name again? Homer. Where are you, Homer? Homer, there you are. Homer, I'm going to give you my testimony. This is my testimony. It takes about 2 hours to tell my full testimony. Would you be able to burn a copy at a later date and give it one to everybody? Because I think you'll really, really be blessed to listen to my testimony. I did a little bit of it this morning, but there comes a time in your life that you stop talking about what you used to do, and you talk more about what Jesus is doing in your life. And I love telling my testimony. It's a dynamic testimony, and you know, I was just really bad and got saved. But you know what's even more of a powerful testimony than mine? People like you who got tempted with different things and you said no to it. In my book, you guys were a lot stronger than I was. I think that's more of a powerful testimony, because people all over the world say, God, I don't have a testimony like yours. I said, no, you've got a more powerful one, because you didn't do the ding-dong things that I did. You had the guts to stand up in the midst of peer pressure. See, listen, you guys, it's about time that you guys at your schools begin to start applying the peer pressure the opposite way. Instead of, oh my God, I can't do anything, I'm a Christian, and oh, I can't snort coke and smoke dope and sleep around, and oh, I just can't listen, watch this and listen to that. You know what? No. It's about time for you to stand up and say, you know what? I don't do that. And guess what? Go suck an egg, because I don't do that. And start applying the peer pressure that way. Nothing's worse than a spineless Christian. Oh, Jesus! No! Stand up! Spit in the devil's face! And say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And I'm proud of it. Listen, you want to come over here? Then guess what? I'm not going to be influenced by you. You are going to be influenced by me. And let the power of the... See, it's God's will, first and foremost, to come to you. You get healed. You get delivered. You get set free. You get saved. But that's God's second best. His first best is not only to flow to you, but begin to flow through you to a lost and dying world. Amen? Amen. Amen. Quiet in this Catholic church. Amen? Anybody have a heart to feed the hungry, feed the poor? This is my, it's a DVD on Starbucks there on how I started a food ministry with Starbucks. This is a friend of mine. It's called Rescued. And actually, this is his first fiction. I got a book for you that I forgot to give you. And this is really, really, really good for an unbeliever. And it's all about the gospel and the message of salvation in fiction form there. Amen. Anybody know any problems with dope? Anybody got any problems with dope in here? No one's going to raise their hand. Sorry, Jason, I took a few bong hits before I came to church. Amen. This is a girlfriend of mine, a friend of mine that is a girl. She's a youth pastor in Perth, and she was an Olympic medalist in Australia, and she got hooked on dope, on heroin, and lost everything, and now she's on fire for Jesus in Perth, Australia, and it's called Golden Haze, Jade's Story. Anybody know anybody that's got problems with dope? There you go. There's one there, and I've got one more. There you go, bro, over there. Amen. This is one. It's called Popular Christianity, The Greatest Enemy to Your High Call. How many want God's best for their life? I do. You know one of the first things He's going to do in your life? He's going to take you out of popular realms. Listen, can I tell you a little story? Okay, God says, Abraham, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be Isaac. Even in your old age, Sarah, get ready. You're going to put a rose in your mouth. You're going to put a little Luther Vandross on. You're going to start wiggling again at 90 years old. Abraham, all of a sudden, you're going to be frisky and frisky and frisky. And they go, wow, we're 90 years old. What are you talking about? We're almost 100. Well, we know the story. He has Isaac. All right, Isaac grows up a little bit. God says to Abraham, hey, guess what? Offer your son. I want you to go sacrifice your son. So what does the Bible say? Go back and read it. He takes a donkey, he takes a servant, and he takes Isaac, his son, and Abraham, and they go to Mount Moriah. right before they get to Mount Moriah, before they go up Mount Moriah, where Abraham's going to think that he's going to have to offer Isaac, what's the first thing he does? He turns to the donkey and to the servant and says, "Hey guys, thanks for coming along, but you cannot go where I'm going. You have to stop here." And the Lord spoke to me about getting rid of donkey relationships in my life. People that were good people, nice people, but they weren't going where I was going. And every single one of you in here, you have donkey relationships in your life. You know those people you shouldn't be hanging out with. Amen. But you want to be popular. Listen, you ain't ever going to really be popular if you're on fire for God. You'll be popular in realms of Christianity per se. But Jesus said, those that live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Will suffer persecution. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. But that's okay. That's okay. Like my friend said back there, he was just waiting for an opportunity for people to be nasty to him. Why? So that he can let the love of God show forth. I'm going to give him credit once, then it's mine. That's a good idea. I had to get rid of donkey relationships in my life. And guess who they were? They were born again, spirit-filled pastors and ministers and preachers. God said, cut ties. Begin to turn. Some of you got to get rid of some donkey relationships in your life. You know who they are. You know who they are. All you have to do is think, yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember the ones that I had to. Even long before I was married to Tara, one was just on a scale of 1 to 10. She was a 15. She was beautiful. Just a great friend. We were just friends. Snip. Some of them were preachers. Snip. Snip, 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 snip. Why? Because I was beginning to go up Mount Moriah. I was beginning to go into the call, really beginning to spread my wings and really start going all over the place. It's incredible what happened. See, this is what happens, people. Can you hold that real quick? You're right here, okay? And you're living an on fire for God. And then you say, you know what, God, I want more of you in my life. So guess what? You're going to go up a notch. Well, guess what's going to happen? Most of those relationships will leave your life. But that's it. Why? Because they don't want to go up with God. But guess what? When you go up, that's okay. Most will leave your life, but God will bring other friends to you. And you say, man, I don't want to stop there, God. I want more of you, man. I want to go higher. So you make a decision. Yeah, I'll go up another notch. Well, most of those relationships will begin to leave your life. But that's okay. God will bring others to you. The higher you get, the more difficult it gets. Ask any general, any CEO of a corporation. It's lonely at the top. But guess what? When you say, yo, Jesus, he says, yo, Jason, boom. You're like, whoa. Wow. It's an incredible, incredible principle. Popular Christianity, who would like it? There you go. Be blessed. And this is one that I did in New Zealand at a Bible school on vision. A lot of people have sight but no vision. Young people, you better get a vision for your life. You better get a vision for your life. The Bible says in Proverbs, without a vision, people perish. Another translation says they cast off restraint. Your focus determines your reality. If the devil can steal your focus, he's got you. If Hollywood can steal your focus, he's got you. Guys, if girls can steal your focus, and boy, is it easy. What do you think? When God put Adam to sleep, he pulled the rib out and we called woman. Whoa, man. Whoa. I remember the first time I was preaching at Pastor Dave's church and I wasn't married to my wife. She was sitting in the front row. There's about 500 people. And I saw my wife and I went, and all these people were looking at me. And I'm thinking in my mind, dang, Jesus, she's pretty. Whoa, man. Whoa. And I had to go to the other side of the prayer center to preach because she just distracted me. It was her fault. 20 minutes later, I came back and I saw her like there. And I was like, and the Lord said, whoo, that just jacked my vision up. And girls, if the guy can steal your vision, he'll do it. I know you ladies, you're looking for the six-pack stomach with the guns. Listen, ladies, listen. Listen, you obey God and Jesus will bring him right to your doorstep. Yes. Hallelujah. And if he's not on fire for God, you better not touch him. And if he doesn't have a job, you better not touch him. Listen, before Adam had a wife, he had a job. He had a job. Better treat you like a princess. All of those things. You got to get a vision for your life. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on in the week. You've got the corporate vision here, that the Family Prayer Center. You've got the vision of Pastor Bronk and his wife and everything that you guys are doing here. But then you have your own individual visions that God's called you to. And you'd be shocked how many Christians have no earthly idea what they're doing. They're walking around planet Earth. They're like as James says, a ship without a rudder. They're just going here and they're going there and they're going here and they're going there. And they're this popular this month and then they're unpopular this month. And they come to youth group sometimes. And then, no. Once you have a vision for your life, man, wham, it keeps you focused. It keeps you set on the prize. Man, listen to me. I don't know about you. You know what Tara and I are after? That flipping crown at the end of this life. I don't know about you. Listen, some of you, if you don't obey God, when we get to heaven, you're going to be cutting my grass. I don't know about you. I don't want to go into the hills and valleys of paradise. I want to be rocking and rolling up next to the throne room of grace. Don't you ever wonder what He looks like? The Bible says that we were made in His image, correct? So He's got to have some bodily form. The Bible said before Jesus was the Son of God, He was in another form. So what did He look like? Man, I want to see Michael. I want to see Gabriel. I want to see Mo and Abe and all of the... I want a front row seat. This little 80 years is nothing compared to what's to come. Pastor Dave said to me, he said, Jason, you want a trip to heaven? You want a vision of heaven? I said, well, yeah. He said, die enough to this world and God will show you the next. I thought, wow. Is that not an incentive? Man, die enough to this world and He'll show you the other side. He'll show you what it looks like. I mean, I want to see an angel. Well, you're just... I don't care what you think. I could care less if you love me or if you hate me. It's irrelevant. I'm going to love you anyways. Amen. I want to see my angel. Man, I probably have about five. And they're not little babies with cupids like this. They're seraphims. They're cherubims. Some are celestial. Some are terrestrial. They're 12 feet tall. If He was to move back our eyes so we would see in the realm of the Spirit, they'd be sitting all around here right now. But because we live in such a sense-dominated earth, sense-dominated realm, the spirit realm is more real than this pulpit, people. We live in a fallen world. When Adam committed high treason in the garden, this planet is scheduled for termination. So Al Gore, go put that in your pipe and smoke it. Okay? Global warming. What a joke, people. It's going to get real hot here. Peter got a glimpse into the future. He said, I saw the firmaments melt away, or the elements melt away with the fervent heat. We live in a fallen world. Adam in the garden, he didn't smoke a joint. He disobeyed God. Man, when you're a man and a woman with a vision, you don't have time for nonsense. Do you make mistakes? Always. Setbacks. You got to get a vision for your life. Who said that they wanted this one? Was that you? Okay. Is it what? No, those are CDs. I actually did that. Wait, you got two. Okay, you got to share it with her then, all right? All right, you got to share it back. And you can buy it back there. It's so funny. Someone said to me, well, Pastor Dave gives all of his stuff away for free. I said, good, I got delivered because I'm not Pastor Dave. Amen. Open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1 if you have them. You ready? Okay, that was two of you. You ready? Am I boring you, bro? You falling asleep? Okay, good. Okay. Don't want you to fall asleep now. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to You so hungry for what men cannot give us. Lord, I'm sitting here in front of future leaders, mighty men and women of God. And I thank You that Your hand is upon them. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit of the living God is doing. And we are ever so careful to give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said... Amen and amen. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Okay, we're going to break this down a little bit, okay? Verse 1, the first word is what? Blessed. I don't know about you. I don't know about any of you. All I know is that when people see me, I want them to say, there is a blessed man of God. I want to be blessed. Now, we think of a blessing, and most people, most Christians think of in the financial realm, though that's included, but that's not all of it. Listen, the lowest form of prosperity is gold and silver, 401ks, houses, real estate. That's what I call the prosperity of the senses. That is the lowest form of prosperity. Do you know what the highest form of prosperity is? Anybody? Jesus? I can tell you exactly what the highest form of prosperity is. Peace. A peace that passes all understanding. You lay your head on your pillow and you sleep at night. And you wake up with the joy of the Lord being your strength. You know, before I ever became a Christian, when I stopped partying in 1992, you know what I wanted? I didn't seek riches. I didn't seek fame. You know what I really, really wanted? I wanted everything to be okay. I just wanted some peace of mind in my life. And that's really what the world is looking for. Because the world system is like this all of the time. Especially in California, where I grew up as a young boy. Peace is the highest form of prosperity. Blessed. Blessed. I want to be blessed. Listen, this was my God when I was your age. When I was your age, this was my God. Everywhere that I went, I can't do it too much anymore. Everywhere that I went, this thing was with me. Everywhere that I went, I grew up on the basketball court. I was a good little white dude that played a big man's game. I grew up in the Latino community with my Hispanic friends. That's where I learned to mainline Mexican food, like a drug addict. Mexican food, jalapenos and hot sauce and beans and frijoles and taquitos and, oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Just wham! Ah! We just OD'd on Mexican food earlier today. It was beautiful. And then I grew up with the blacks in Los Angeles on the basketball court. When I was a kid, when I was your age, I used to have lunch with Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, David Greenwood, Jerry West. All of them, they were giants, and I was a little white boy, but I could shoot. And I was good. Not only was I good, I was good looking too. This was my God. In fact, anybody in here can beat me in a game of horse, I'll give them $100. Mm-hmm. No one will ever beat me. Never, and it's not going to happen. Wow, Jason, you're a betting man? No, I'm confident. But this was my God. And let me tell you, to a degree, I was blessed in this area. God gave me coordination. It just everywhere that I went, I had a basketball in my hand. I'd dribble to school. And then what I would do is I'd take a rope and I'd tie it around my right arm and I'd dribble with my left hand all the way to school to get my left hand just as strong as my right hand. This was my God, though. Everywhere I went. When Larry Bird and Magic were playing, Lakers in Boston, I mean, I was in front of the television set, just mesmerized. To a degree, I had a blessing in that area. I was good at what I did. But we're talking about a whole different realm of blessed. I want you to understand just how blessed you really are. He grew up in a free country where you have freedom of worship. You can go to a school and get an education and work hard and do all of those things. Obey the call of God on your life. When I look at you, I want to say that is a blessed youth group. That is a blessed church. That is a blessed pastor. When people see me, I want them to say about me and my wife, there is a blessed man of God. I don't want to be cursed. I know what that's all about too. That's the flip side of my old life. I could not, man, my friends, Jason, we're not going out with you tonight. Why? Because you're going to jail again. Because I had a tongue on me. And my God, I would end up in jail every single time the cops would come. Everybody would vacate Jason. Why? Because there he goes again in the paddy wagon. And I had it all, people. When I was your age, I had it all. I saw all the newspapers all over California. First person in my family to go to a major university out of high school. Everybody knew me. I was most popular. But I didn't have any character. I had no integrity, no morals, no nothing. Mom died, tragedy in the family, and all the curses of the world just seem to start compounding against my life. And I'm thinking, gosh, what's going on here? What's going on here? I know what it's like to be cursed, man. Thank God He became our curse. Thank God that I can actually be a blessed man of God. You can actually be a blessed woman of God. And this psalm goes into minute detail. If you will do what it says, you will be blessed. Whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a preacher, an athlete, whatever it is that God's called you to do. But here's the challenge. You've got to find out what you're called to do. That's why it's important. Young people, pay attention to your tears and pay attention to what makes you angry. Your tears are a sign of something you're called to heal. And what makes you angry is a sign of something you're called to change. See, when I see mentally handicapped kids under the age of 8, I just begin to weep and cry because they're trapped in a body and they don't know how to get out, yet we have a healing covenant. And I know that if I go into God far enough, one day He's going to give me that power and I'm going to be able to walk up to them and begin to pray for them and God's going to heal them. I was in the Middle East in a country. This little girl came up and said, she says, oh, can you pray? And I couldn't really understand her. Well, she was deaf. She was about 12 years old. And she said, what she was saying was, can you pray for me? And I said, sure, absolutely. And she said, okay, come over here. And I took my interpreter because I didn't speak the Arabic language. I took my interpreter. I put my fingers in her ear and God opened her ears. Boom. It scared me more than it did her. I went, whoa! Dude! I'm blessed. Pay attention to your tears. It's a sign. Not the only sign, but a sign of something you're called to heal. My name Jason means healer, one who heals. That's what my name means. Pay attention to what makes you angry. It's a sign of something you're called to change. You know what I hate? Single moms that can't feed their kids and don't have enough diapers for their babies. I get pissed off, man. I don't like that. It makes me angry. Why? I have a food ministry. Now that's what I'm changing. I am going to eradicate hungry people in my city. That's one of our goals. That's one of our visions. Nobody is going to be hungry in Tulsa. Nobody. See, poverty makes me angry. What? It's a sign of something I'm called to change. What makes you cry? What makes you angry? Two keys to becoming a blessed man of God, a blessed woman of God. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman. Look, number one, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what that means? Listen, you don't go get your counsel from the world. You don't get your counsel from the world. If you need counsel, young people, you go to your pastor and the lead pastor. Proverbs says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You get godly counsel. You don't go out to Australian Idol or American Idol to get your counsel. You don't go to your unsaved friends to get counsel, people. You get your counsel from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit, or your pastors. That's what they're there for. And I'm probably certain that anything that you do, Pastor Brock and the other ones here are not going to be surprised. They're not going to be surprised. I don't know about you, but me, I smoked it, snorted it, and slept with it. Okay? See, that's what Shambach taught me. You know, the famous preacher named Shambach. Guess what sinners do? They sin. That's what they do. That's what they do. They sin. And it's fun for a while until it gets its hook in you. And then it'll kill you. Oh, I had some good time sinning, man. Jesus. Woo! Party after party, game after game. Pick this, do that, pick that. And see, I was the guy in my high school where I got along with everybody. I got along with the Hispanics, the blacks, the whites, the Asians. They all liked me because I could put a ball in a basket. So they'd all watch and come and play. They'd all come to my games. What's so funny, bro? Do I remind you of a black preacher? Amen. You don't get your counsel from the world. You get your counsel from the Word of God. Sir. You don't go to your unsafe family, friends and family. What do you think I should do? No, 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 no. No. I love my brother. I love my sister to death. They're my family. But I don't get my counsel from them. And if I have to go to a doctor, moms and dads that are in here, if I have to go to a doctor that's a psychologist, because one time I went and needed some help in one area and some counseling, and I went, he was born again and spirit filled. You do not need a spiritually dead person speaking into your life. You better find him born again and spirit filled, and you might have to hunt for it. But don't let a spiritually dead man speak into your kids' lives. Gosh! That seed will be sown in there, and all of a sudden it'll begin to grow roots and then trees, and it's going to bear rotten fruit, not good fruit, rotten fruit. And it's going to take years to get those weeds and all those roots out where it's been sown. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if you want to be a blessed man of God or a blessed woman of God, you don't go to the world for your counsel. Boy, I'm just waiting for God to open the door. I just want to talk to Dr. Phil just for a few minutes. Good principles, of course. But no power. See, and why would you go somewhere when you can have the power of the Holy Spirit? See, the Holy Spirit can do in 10 seconds what it'll take a therapist to take 10 years. If you'll just get to know Him. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, nor stands in the path of sinners. What does that mean? We don't do things the way that sinners do. Okay? I don't know about you, I was double-fisted in the bars, dancing on the tables all night long. Till 4 o'clock in the morning. That's what I did when I was a sinner, but I don't do that anymore. If I want to be a blessed man of God, I don't get my counsel from the world, and I don't do things the way that sinners do. You know what we do? We break bread. Oh, God! You know, I used to think to myself, right after I got saved, this is so funny, right after I got saved, and during the Thanksgiving of my first year in Bible school, I went to a prayer meeting with a whole bunch of Christians that had been saved since Noah. You know, third and fourth generation Pentecostal preachers' kids, kind of like your pastor. You know, this long genealogy of godliness and righteousness where I was born and bred in Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? So I went to this prayer meeting for the first time and my brain, I was newly saved and I was having just a brain fart. I just couldn't really understand what was going on. Here I am on a Thursday night, all my friends in the world are out partying for Thanksgiving and I'm in a prayer meeting. Oh my gosh, something must be real to get me to a prayer meeting, to get you to the youth group. See, we don't do things the way that sinners do. And the reason why some of you struggle sometimes, and you say, God, I just don't have a good time, is because you've not really been touched by Him. Because when you get touched by Him, you can come up here Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Friday night. You know what Tara and I do now on New Year's Eve? We stay home next to a fire. You couldn't have paid me to stay home on New Year's. I was never sober on New Year's. And then I thought, well, it's the day after New Year's, so let's keep partying. You know, we don't need New Year's. And then, well, it's 2 days after the New Year, so let's just keep going. Next thing I know, it's February 14th. It's Valentine's Day. Oh, and then we got St. Patty's Day, the green beer. All right. And then we go, wow, well, then spring break, girls gone wild. Come on, you'll be going through the television, you'll be watching it, girls gone wild, wah! All the spring break, and I'm like, I was there, that's me, there I am, oh no, thank you Jesus. Thank you Jesus for saving my wretched rear end.
Yes, sir.
Come on, come on. Blessed is the man, blessed is Jason, blessed is Tara. We don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and we don't do things the way that sinners do. We worship God. You know what the best thing is? You ever walk into an elevator? And because I'm in hotels all the time, okay? You know, you go to an elevator, and especially sometimes when I'll go to Vegas, if I'm preaching in Vegas, or if I'm preaching in Europe, or different places like that, you'll go into a hotel room, and I'll get, you know, late at night, I'm done, and I'm exhausted, and I'm going back to my hotel room, and guess what? The door opens, and guess what? Everybody comes in. Five people drunk. And I just step back, okay? My flesh giggles, but my heart cries out for them. Okay, my flesh goes, okay, da-da. And they start, dirty jokes start flying. They start cussing. You know what I do? Oh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, I just praise you and worship you, God. I thank you, Jesus, you're first and foremost in my life. All of a sudden, shoom, silence hits and they're like... well, I figured if you guys can tell dirty jokes and cuss, I can worship God. And you said that spirit just shuts down. Shuts down. And guess what? Well, what do? I'm a preacher. Oh, sorry about my voice, my mouth. Hey, bro, you know what I say? Don't worry about it. It's all right. Don't worry about it. See, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They can't change it. See, if they could change it, then Jesus would have never had to come. He would have never had to come, people. You can't. He's the only one that can change human heart. Money can't do it. Sex can't do it. Drugs can't do it. Popularity can't do it. Money can't do it. Nice cars, big houses, none of that. Jesus says the only one that has the power to regenerate your dead spirit to being born again. So don't get mad at them when they're all, yeah, that's what they do, people. They don't know any better. They can't change their own nature. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Now here we go, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. To scorn somebody, he's talking about judgment there. Stop judging people. Have you ever judged somebody? Lift up your hand. And if you're not lifting up your hand, I'm going to come cast that lying devil out of you. Every single person is judged. And guess what? Guess what? When you're pointing your finger at there, you've got three pointing back at you. And usually the one very one that you're judging is they're doing exactly what you wish you wanted to do. So we stand up in our self-righteous attitude and say, I'm not like that. No, you're just as bad, if not worse. That's why Jesus said, man, take the plank out of your own eye, you moron. Then you'll be able to see the speck in your brother's eye. Come on. Amen. Come on. See, when I speak to young people, I don't change my message. I just change my style so that I'll be able to communicate to you in a way that you'll be able to, okay, I get that. Drives religious people nuts. Who do you think you are? You know what? For the first flipping time in my life, I know who I am. I know who I am. And I know who I serve. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I gave the analogies, and I talked a little bit about Trixie and Hans and Fritz this morning if you weren't here. Good old Trixie walks in and she's hanging out here and she's all short here. And she comes into church and she doesn't know any better. Man, go love her. It's the Word of God that's going to change her. It's the Word of God that's going to keep her blouse up and her skirt down. And when Hans and Fritz walk back, you know, they come in through the back door. Come on. They walk through the back door, go love them. Welcome them in here, man. Put them in the front row where the anointing. If they want to sit in the back, man, all bring praise. Lord, get them. Lord, get them in the back right now. Just zing them, zap them. Oh, Lord, right now, lay his ugly butt out. Come on, God, get him. Come on, you hear my heart. Love him. If you want to be blessed, when you're at the workplace, stop judging people and start loving them. Everybody's jacked up. Everybody's weird. We've all dysfunction. We all have weaknesses, character defects, shortcomings, and flaws. Some have more than others. We're all at different levels of faith. We're all working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're all trying to walk by faith. We're all trying to learn to walk on the water. We all want to raise the dead. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman. And if you do those three things, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. When you sit in that seat is when you think that you're better than other people. You ain't better than anybody. Amen. Now you might be more hungry than somebody. But man, God's no respecter of persons. Listen, people, God loves you the exact same as he loves the prostitute who sold her body 20 times before lunchtime. God loves you the exact same as the man who's beating his wife right now, silly. That's called the agape love of God. That's why there's three kinds of loves. There's the eros, there's the phileo, and then there's the agape. The eros is where we get the word erotica. It's the Hollywood love. It's the fleshly love. It's the lowest form of love. It's the physical attraction. Then you've got the phileo love that most Christians walk in. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. And then you make it up into the agape love. And that's when Jesus was being crucified. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It takes no thought for what's being done to it. That's the agape love of God. That's where we all strive to be. That's where you get the strength. You can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can operate in the eros. You can operate in the phileo in your own human strength. But you cannot operate in the agape without the power and muscle of the Holy Spirit. You need Him. That's why if you think you're going to obey your call of God without the Holy Spirit, you're smoking crack. Satan will chew you up and spit you out. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Look, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Tuesday and Thursday, Sunday after Pastor Brock's sermon. No, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. It was Pastor Dave Roberson that taught me what meditation was. That unique way that the Holy Spirit gets involved with your human spirit to take the counsel that left heart of God in the form of the Word and reconstruct that counsel inside of your human spirit so it becomes the wisdom, the revelation, the discernment, everything you need to obey the call of God in your life. You begin to start meditating God's Word. You begin to start sucking in God's Word all of the time. Put down People Magazine. Put down Star and Us and OK. Listen, trash in, trash out. Trash in, trash out. And boy, do they try to get you everywhere you go. Billboards. When you go down the aisle to check out at the grocery store, it's all just sitting there bombarding your senses. You begin to start meditating the Word of God day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. You watch what happens in your life. All of a sudden you say, Lord, and He says, yes, what can I do for you? And you go, whoa! You begin to start talking to Him, He starts answering. You begin to start praying, He starts answering. You begin to start believing God for different things, open doors, finance, whatever it is, a spouse, a mate, whatever it is, all of a sudden, people start coming across your path. Why? You're not getting your counsel from the world. You're not doing things the way that sinners do. You're not walking in judgment. You're walking in forgiveness and the love of God and the fruits of the Spirit. You're meditating God's Word. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, meaning he gets excited. 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 You don't open up God's Word and go, Yeah, I believe that little skinny guy, but I don't know about this. God, where do I start? Oh, Leviticus? Heck no. Oh, God. No, your delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law you meditate day and night. Day and night. See, if cancer can work on your body 24/7, how much more the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. If fear can work on your mind, how much more the Holy Spirit? Yes. I have no fear. Sir. I have no fear. Sir. I'm ready to go. I tell my wife all the time, sweetheart, I love you with all of my heart. But I live my life the way that if he walks into my hotel room in Immokalee, Florida, and says, Jason, you're done. You're coming home tonight. You know what I'm ready to say? Let's go, man. I preached the gospel in almost 100 countries. I said, man, all over the earth. I've flown in airplanes. Now I'm going to get in my heavenly spider Ferrari and I'm going to explore the four corners of this universe. Jesus, you show me what the heck is out there. Let's go. Because you get a glimpse of the other side, people. If you just get a snapshot of the other side, you won't ever want to come back.
Yes, sir.
Never. Never. Never.
When?
Never. And I love my wife. Woo, I love my wife. I was on the phone with her. Love her more than any person on planet Earth. But guess what? She's not Jesus.
Amen.
There's a special place in my heart that Tara will never have access to. It's for Jesus and Jesus only. And there's a special place in her heart, a corner,
yes,
cavity of her heart. I have no access. It's not for me. It's for Jesus and Jesus only. Because I can't be Jesus in her life. My love for my wife is here, but my love for Jesus is here. Why? Because she's my sister in Christ first and my wife second. Because the marriage institution is just only here on planet Earth. We're going to be like the angels in heaven. I can't wait. I can't wait. I have so many questions I want to ask God. Did Adam have a belly button? You ready for this one? God, why did you give me three boobs? You're all going, oh my God! It's true. I have one right here. And my brother's got four. So I'd be laying out at the beach in California, and my friends would go, hey, hey, come here, he's sleeping. You want to see a guy that has three boobs? Come here, come here. And I would wake up like this, and all these people would be looking at me. I don't know why, I got three. Now my sister's only got two, okay? But my brother's got four, and I got three. I got made fun of my whole life in school. They just thought it was the funniest thing. I'd be taking a shower in the locker room and all the guys are like. Hey guys, I'm not a mutant. I'm Jason. I don't know why. A lot of questions I want to ask him. Come on, you holier than thous. Look at you. Well, Jason, I've never really heard preaching like this before. Well, welcome. I told the people this morning, and I'll tell you young people, God doesn't want to kill your personality, He wants to sanctify it. He doesn't want to kill your ego, He wants to sanctify it so that you use it for Him. You use all of your gifts and your talents for the one that gave them to you. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight, Jason's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. And because you do that, look, the Bible says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf shall not wither. Can I tell you a little story? My old pastor in California was in Russia during a Moscow winter, preaching in a Moscow winter Russian. During a winter in Russia. And he had heard about this pastor and the miracle food. The Bible says, whose leaf shall not wither. You know what that means? You're going to bear fruit Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, winter, spring, summer, and fall. Your leaf shall not wither. So my pastor at that time in California says, I want to see this. So the pastor took him underneath his house into the cellar and turned on the lights. And guess what? He had a complete vegetable garden growing underneath his house in a Russian dead winter in complete darkness. That's an impossibility. You need sunlight to grow vegetables, people. He had all variety of vegetables growing in complete darkness. There was no photosynthesis operating there. Photosynthesis is the way that energy and sunlight and things begin to grow on the earth. You need water and you need sunlight in complete darkness. He said, I want to taste that food. He ate it. He said, Pastor, he says, it's just an amazing thing. We planted it and it started growing in the middle of a Russian winter. He says, oh, by the way, did you know that I pastor three churches, 1,500 to 2,000 kilometers apart, and I go to Sunday morning service at all three of them every Sunday? Oh, man, I was like, tell me more. Come on, tell me more. You know what he does? He goes, the KGB was after him. And so he would go and he'd preach the Sunday morning service. And then he'd just start walking towards his next church, which is 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 kilometers away. And God would translate him and he'd get to the next church. And the KGB was always one step behind. They couldn't find out how this cockroach kept getting to all these meetings. And then he'd preach the second service and then he'd just be done and he'd start walking towards the next one. He'd get translated to the next city. That's the power of the Holy Spirit! See, that makes your brain leak out your ear! That makes the Western church go like this. That's what's going to begin to start happening on the earth, man. We're going to start seeing angels. Man, raising the dead is going to begin to start happening. Crippled legs, blind eyes, deaf ears. Many of you are going to start being translated to different parts of the earth. That's what he's looking for. That's why on my website it says, Jason Hamlin Ministries, a new generation has come. Yeah. Your leaf shall not wither. And then he puts a pigtail on the end of it. And he says, whatever you stink and touch will prosper. Anything you touch will prosper. See, blessed is Jason, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. And because he meditates day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever I touch shall prosper. It's not on me, it's not around me, it's in me. It's in me. The ball's in your court. It's in your court. You can have as much as God as you want. And nothing makes me more excited when someone comes up and says, "Excuse me, Brother Jason, you can't do that." Really? Cool. Bring it on. Keep saying it. "You can't do that. It's impossible. Come on, come on. You're just fueling my fire. Brother Doubt and Sister Unbelief." Found out we have a lot of unbelieving believers in the body of Christ. A lot of unbelieving believers. Can I show you something else? Go with me to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Look at this. "Truly God is a good God to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me," this is the psalmist, "but as for me, my feet almost stumbled and my steps nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked man. There are no pangs in their death. They are not in trouble as other men. They're not plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance and they have more than they could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here and waters of a full cup are drained out. And they say, 'How does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?'" Listen, verse 12. "Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease." And look what the Bible says. "They increase in riches. Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I would speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me." The psalmist says, "Look, my feet nearly slipped. I nearly backslid. I nearly went back into the world. I stopped going to youth group. I stopped going to church when I looked out the window and I saw the prosperity of the wicked man. They live in all the nice houses, drive all the nice cars, go to all the nice parties. They've got front seat at all the NBA games. They wear the Armani suits. They drive the Spider Ferraris. Their kids get all the best education. And you and I, sometimes it feels like we come in here, we're trying to live right, we're trying to do right, we're giving to the Lord, we're worshiping, and we're barely making it. You're trying to raise your kids correctly. You're trying to get them a Christian education." The psalmist said, "Man, when I looked out the window and I saw the prosperity of Orlando and Miami and all of the ungodly," he said, "man, I nearly slipped, man. I nearly went back into the world. I got so angry. I didn't understand it." And then the Bible says, "It was when I thought about how to meditate it, it was just too painful for me." I know one thing. If you're like the psalmist and you keep looking out that window and you think that it's better out there, people, you know what's going to happen? Next week you're going to be here. You're going to look out that window. And the following week you're going to be here. You keep looking out that window and take your eyes off Jesus. The next week you're going to be here. And you're going to be here. And one day you're going to be right here. And you're going to have one more step. And God's doing everything in His power to keep you here, but He'll not violate your will. See, if you don't want Him, He'll honor that.
Amen. That's right.
He'll honor you. If you don't want Him, He'll honor that. That's how much He loves you. He gave you a free will to choose. And the psalmist said, "Man, I looked outside. Dang. God, I'm busting my butt at my job. Enemies attacking my finance. I'm being made fun of when I'm at school. I wake up and I got to go to youth. He says, gosh. And then I look at all my friends and it looks like they're just having a good old time. What am I doing here? Sometime it gets foggy." Look, the Bible says, "When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me." Verse 17, listen. "Until," everybody say until. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you've set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are brought to desolation in a moment. They are consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise that image. Thus my heart," listen, "my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you, Lord. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel. Afterward, you're going to receive me to glory. Who and I have heaven but you? There is none on the earth that I desire beside you. My flesh, my heart, my friends, my different people, it's all going to fail me. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those from far off, they're going to perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, and I will declare your wonderful works. Until I went into the sanctuary of my God, now I understood that your best day out there that you think that you had doesn't even come close to your worst day in here. Meaning your worst day in here is far better than your best day out there. It's a lie, people. It's a lie. Every time you turn on the television, 99.9% of it is a lie. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Can I show you what's coming to you? Can I show you what's about to come? Go with me to Luke chapter 3. Gospel of St. Luke chapter 3. Gospel of Luke chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of so-and-so and so-and-so. Really weird names. Verse 2, when Ananias and Caiaphas were the high priest, the word of the Lord came to John and the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. Verse 1, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Who was Caesar? He was Obama of his day. He was the most powerful man in the world. He pointed at one man, they died. He pointed at another man, they were crucified. He said, this one lives, this one dies. His name was on all of the money. He had all of the nice palaces. He had all of the Armani suits. He had the Spider Ferrari. He had the Rolls Royce chariots. He had all the gold and the silver. He had all the beautiful women. He had all of the education. He had all of the nice meals, the 10-course meals. He was the most powerful man in his day. He was the Obama of his day. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Then Pontius Pilate being governor. Who was Pilate? We know he was the one that gave Jesus, the order for Jesus to be crucified. Pilate lived in a luxurious palace. He used to crucify people. He pointed at this when they lived. He pointed at that when they died. He only was accountable to Caesar. He had all the beautiful parties, all the nice houses, all the resort homes on all the different islands all over Rome and Italy. He had all the beautiful women. He had all the nice chariots. He was the commander of the Roman army in that area of the world. He was the most powerful man in Jerusalem in his day. Then the next one. Herod being tetrarch of Galilee. Herod was a king. Herod was a wimp though. Herod had all the beautiful women. All of the nice cars. All of the beautiful houses. All of the best record deals. Front row seats next to Jack Nicholson when the Lakers were playing. Everything Herod desired, he got. And then look what the Bible says. And his brother Philip, tetrarch of Itur, in the region of Trasonatius and Lysanias in Albany. And look, verse 2, while Ananias and Caiaphas were the high priests, they wore the ephod, they went into the Holy of Holies, they met with God. It took 8 months to get a counseling meeting with them. If you wanted to counsel with them and you signed up in January, you couldn't get in till August. They sat in all the best places when people ate. They had went to all the nice synagogues. Everybody wanted to be next to Ananias and Caiaphas. Why? They were the most powerful religious leaders of their day. They had all the gold and the silver. They worshipped in the beautiful temple. But look at the next verse. This is you and me. But the word of the Lord came to John. The word of the Lord is not coming to Obama. It's not coming to Bush. It's not coming to Pope Benedict. It's not coming to Tiger Woods. It's not coming to Hollywood. It's not coming to sport. It's not coming to the Miami Heat. The word of the Lord for our generation is coming to you and I. To you and I. To you and I. Man, Somebody's got the word of the Lord for this city here. Somebody's got the word of the Lord for our nation, for nations of the earth. Some of you will stand before kings and queens and dictators and rulers and generals of armies, and you'll speak what He tells you to speak. I've been blessed. See, I'm still young, but I'm not new anymore. I've been blessed to be in penthouses of royal families. I've been blessed to be able to speak the oracles of God in front of people that really want to kill me. But let me tell you something. When you get the word of the Lord, man, you are like Superman. The Spirit of God rests upon you, and no evil shall come nigh your dwelling. The world, all the power that these guys had, princes of the earth, all natural power that they had in the natural realm, the word of the Lord did not come to Caesar, did not come to Herod, didn't even come to the leaders of the religious day. They came to a guy who was on his face before God in the backside of the wilderness saying, God, I don't care about offerings. I don't care about television. I don't care about fame and prosperity. All I care about is doing what you called me to do. And man, when you get that in your heart, people, you watch what begins to happen in your life. You walk into a room and the dirty jokes stop. You walk into a room and people stop cussing. People say, excuse me, what can I get you? Can I do something for you? And you don't go in with a haughtiness or an arrogance. You go in under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you in due time. All of my friends now, a lot of them are extremely wealthy guys. God is now just, after 15 years, just beginning to turn it. After they've got a few drinks in them, after they've taken a couple bong hits and snorted a couple lines of coke, they'll come up to me and say, dude, I really like what you're doing. Wow, you've changed. I said, yeah, I have. Well, my best friend bought a palace in Naples and retired at 35. He said to me, he said, Jason, out of everybody I've known, he says, you're my best friend. He says, I would have never thought you went religious. And I said to him, hey, bro, that's how you know it's real. Because he got me. You know what I've been doing?
Yes, sir.
Come here. Come here.
Yes, sir.
Come here, you cockroach. You're getting saved whether you like it or not. Is you my best friend? You not going to hell at the end of this life? I don't care. You want to sin? Go sin. Go get it out of your mongrel mind, you mongrel. You are coming into the kingdom of God, and there ain't nothing you do about it, because when I hit my knees, He's going to protect you. And you know what happened, Pastor? He had his son. He had his little brother in his Ferrari, brand new Spider Ferrari, convertible one. He was doing about 150 miles an hour, and he lost control. And he started doing donuts, and his little brother was in the seat right there. He said, Jason, when I was going backwards, I looked at the speedometer and I was still doing 80 or 90 miles an hour and I was going backwards. I had completely lost control. He said, I saw the center divider and I saw a telephone pole. And he said, my fingers crunched in to the steering wheel. And he said, I stopped just short. He said, you know what the first thing that came in this heathen sinner mind of mine? I said, what? He said, I knew Jason was praying for me.
Hallelujah.
You know what I said to him? You're damn right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. Because you're getting in, buddy. I don't care if I have to drug your ugly butt across home plate by the hair in your ears. You are, when this is all done, you going to be in heaven.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The word of the Lord's coming to our generation. It's not coming to those who you think it's coming to.
Yes.
In fact, you know who it's coming to? Can I show you who it's coming to? Don't turn with me. I'll just turn and let me read it to you. I can tell you exactly who the word of the Lord's coming to. For you see, young people, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame to the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame to the things which are mighty. And the base or the insignificant things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to the nothing the things that are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know what I am? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was a nobody going nowhere doing nothing. And now I'm a somebody going somewhere doing everything. Not by my works, lest any man should boast. By the grace of God, I stand here before you now. I'm living my dream. My friends say, my God, Jason, your life is a movie. I've been to almost 100 countries. I've been around the world 57 times, 58 times. I've been jailed 4 times in foreign countries, captured by the Muslims twice. I've been in 2 wars. I've been stoned. I've been beat. I've been shackled. I've been drug out of cities. I've been thrown in prison in foreign nations. And they look at me and they go, gosh, you just, you know, your physical stature is, you know, you just don't look like, you know, you're right. You're right. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're in a fight, you want me in your corner. Because I know how to pray. And I know how to get a hold of heaven. And I know how to, God will tell me, Jason, I need you in this country tomorrow. Boom, ticket bought, visa, boom, in that country at this church. Boom, I'm there. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter what country. You know what I'm believing God for? North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Somalia, North Africa. All the places where preachers don't want to go. That's where I want to go. That's what burns on the inside of me, God. Take me to the places where they're killing Christians. I can tell you story after story after story. Can I tell you one quick story? I'm in Cairo, Egypt, and the Women's Aglow. The Women's Aglow asked me to come preach. I say, would you come preach to the Women's Aglow? I said, sure, okay. So I preached to a bunch of ladies. After the lady walks up to me and she goes, you know, would you be interested? She said, there's an island in the middle of the Nile River in Egypt, and it's all women. She said, would you go preach? They don't let the ladies off the island because they'll go into Cairo and they don't want them to mix with Muslim men. He says, well, you come and preach, but we have to take you under the cover of darkness at night. No one can know that you're going. I'm like, yeah, James Bond, covert operation. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we meet at about 9 o'clock at night, you know, the mighty Nile River, okay? And they put me in this boat that looks like a floating cage. And I sit down inside the boat and I'm thinking, and they shut me down and cross the Nile River. And I'm thinking, Lord, if this thing sinks, this is my casket. They take me over to this island, and I get off, and the stench was so bad, and the poverty was so bad, and there's just, you know, I was single back then, blonde hair, blue eye, California preacher coming. I had their undivided attention. All the girls were like, wow, he actually came. I couldn't believe he'd come. So I got up and I went into the little small church. It was packed out kind of like this, and I began to start preaching the gospel to all these ladies. All these ladies. And all of a sudden, over here, all the way to the left-hand side, was this old lady. She looked like she was 150 years old. You could tell she had been in the sun her whole life. She had holes in all of her clothes. You could tell her skin was sunburned from years and years. And you could tell she had had a hard, hard life. She had no teeth. She stunk to high heaven. And I'm preaching. And all of a sudden, over here, right where, what's your name, bro? Right where Jeff is sitting. All of a sudden she goes, and I went, I thought it was a devil. I'm like, lady, I'm going to cast the devil out of you? Shh. So I went back over here and I started preaching again. All of a sudden, 20 minutes later, and I'm like, woman? Just interrupted everything. It was like this divine chaos. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm thinking in my mind, if she does that one more time, I'm going to go and throw her on the floor and I'm going to cast the devil out of her. So I just said, my interpreter was looking at me. She said, do you want me to say anything? I said, no, don't worry about it. We'll give it one more chance. So I start preaching again. All of a sudden, and I said, time out. Like, they know what this means. They have no earthly idea what this means. I said, time out. I grab my interpreter. I go over here and I said, interpret what she's saying. You know what she was saying? Your words are like honey. Your words are like honey. Nobody would come to us but you. Your words are like honey. Nobody would come to us. Nobody would come with the good news. And I broke. I broke. And here in my stinking mind, he's got a devil. No, she would have cast the devil out of me. She should have prayed for me. I tell that story all over the world about that little lady. Don't even know if she's still living. When you have stories like that, people, your life changes. Changes. I thought, man, what if I didn't go? Everybody there got saved. Muslims. Everybody came and received Jesus. Nobody would go to him. I said, I will. I will. I will. I'll go. Come on, God. Take me where people don't want to go. I'll do it. There's such a call and an anointing upon your lives. It's incredible.
Yes, sir.
But listen. Listen. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church and expect to get everything from God. You can't do it. Hey, I'm not saying it's easy. Okay? Brock's going to turn 60 in a couple days. I mean 50. He's 10 years older than I am. So his generation was a little different, but not much than mine. But let me tell you something. I'm glad I'm not young in their generation. Because your generation is a little bit, a whole lot different than our generation. You are bombarded on every circle with temptations. Everywhere. Thank God they didn't have cell phones when I was in class. Thank God they didn't have half the stuff. See, greater the call, greater the preparation. I was going to wait until tomorrow, but I'll say it again tomorrow night. When I came in through the back of the church and I saw all the people up here worshiping, the Holy Spirit said to me, you guys need a bigger building. You guys are going to get a bigger building. Because you're not going to be able to hold what's coming. He's going to have to go to two or three services. Let's just jack up his vision. Let's just bring one person to church and then guess what? He's got to go to two services, then he got to go to three services. And then guess what? You're going to have to just waste this whole building and rebuild. You're going to have to build a new sanctuary and you're going to have to just bring on more people. You guys start touching people at your school. Not with, oh, Jesus, do you know Jesus? Oh, do you know Jesus? Oh, yes, come to my church. All of the white folk, come to our church and meet Jesus. No. Don't do that. Don't do that. We have a saying in the ministry world. Preach the gospel and if you have to, use words. Guess what? Just start loving people. And you watch. They'll know. You're different. You're different. It's great. I'm on an airplane. All the time. You're different. What do you do? Oh, what do you mean? Well, you're different. You do something. I know exactly what they're doing and I'm just going, yeah, come here, sucker. Come here. Come on. Come on. Come get the bone. Come on. Come on. You do something. Yeah, I'm a teacher. Oh, really? What do you teach? Oh, vision. Oh, really? How do you do that? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. Come here. You ain't going nowhere. Unless you're going out the plane. See, we're not better than anybody, people, but we are different. We have a different spirit. We have a different spirit. The decision is yours.
Yes, sir.
Is it easy? No. He didn't promise us it was going to be easy, but he did say he'd walk with us.
Amen.
Walk with us. I'd have many teary nights. Many nights alone in hotel rooms all over the earth. I would wake up in a hotel room in the middle of the night and I wouldn't know where I was. Oh, where am I? Oh, I'm in Kuwait. Oh, I'm in Damascus. Oh, I'm in Australia. Didn't even know. Many, many birthdays. Away from nobody knew what I was doing. No one knew where I was, wondering if I was making a difference, wondering if the call of God was going to last, wondering, God, am I really doing what you told me to do the best that I know how? On trains and all through India, 33 hours on a train. People walking up to me saying, what are you doing here by yourself? Don't you understand how dangerous it is? The Hindus are robbing everybody now. Not me. Ain't going to rob me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. different places, sitting in a jail cell all by myself while all my Christian friends left me there. They tucktailed and run and left me behind. Days and days and days in a jail by myself. Wondering, man, God, if my family knew where I was, they'd croak. He said, don't worry, son, I'm here with you. And that's all you need. Because listen, young people, he's not going to give you anything that's going to take the place of him. You buy a brand new car, you drive it off the showroom floor, it depreciates, you lose 30 grand. You put on a nice new suit, nice new dress, one little pin prick, boom. He's not going to give you anything that's going to take the place of who he is in your life. Because nothing can. I will fail you. It's just a matter of time. So don't you dare put your eyes on me. You keep your eyes on Jesus and Jesus only. I will make you mad. I will fail you. I will fall short. Pastor Brock will fall short. His wife will fall short. The youth, we all will fall short. Keep your eyes on Jesus and Jesus only. Don't judge Christianity by Christians. Judge Christianity by Christ. Big difference, people. Christians will fail you. They will let you down. They will hurt you. They will gossip about you. They will talk about you. They will ridicule you. But Jesus won't ever. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. All the Old Testament saints died without the promise. They didn't have the promise, but we have the promise. And He's not only the author, but He's the finisher, meaning we can finish our race, whatever it is that you're called to do. I never dreamed in my wildest dreams I'd be doing what I'm doing today. Never. Never. I've been invited to 28 countries this year. How do I get to all of them? How do I get to go to all these places, God? You know what my family says to me?
We just don't understand you.
Good, don't try. You are out of your mind, Jason. No, I am not out of my mind. I am out of your mind. There's a big difference. Big difference. Bro, you got a call of God on your life. You don't even know what you're called to do. I don't even know you. I've never even seen you. There's a call of God so powerful upon your life. And let me tell you, the enemy has come to try to take you out. And it's all in your mind. The battle is here. There's a call of God on your life, people that you're supposed to touch, and it's not Immokalee, it's not Florida, it's nations, bro. Plural, nations. You too. Called of God. Yeah, you. Uh-huh. You too, Smiley. Amen? Did you learn something tonight? Oh man, I just keep going and keep going. It's really cool sometimes, you know. Sometimes it's like, Pastor Brock will know what I'm talking about and those that preach. Sometimes you get out of your body and you hear you say things that you know you're not that smart. Some of you have gifts and talents. Some of you are good at some things. Some of you are not so good at other things. Focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. Take your weakness one at a time. Don't worry. You know the quickest prayer the Holy Spirit I found out will answer? You don't know the fastest prayer that God will answer in your life? Lord Jesus, show me what's wrong with me. Boom! Wow, do you have to be so quick about it? He'll show you exactly what you need to work on. Right now He's dealing with me on patience. Because I have none. Through faith and patience, you'll inherit the promises. When your faith begins to wobble, all of a sudden your faith gets jarred, patience comes right underneath and lifts it up. You think because Brock and I are preachers that we have an inroad to God? You think God likes us better? No, He doesn't. I hope I'm one of His favorites. I think with all beyond a shadow, you know what I believe God is sitting on the throne? He's like this, just laughing at me, going, go get him, son. Go get him. I gave you that personality. I gave you that communication gift. Go. Go do what I've called you to do. I'm convinced the Trinity is laughing at me. Laughing hysterically. People go, aren't you glad that you're on God's side? No, I'm glad He's on my side.